See what Jackson Public Schools are up to right now. Chief Executive Officer, Superintendent Jeff Beal, joins us. Nothing going on, is it, Jeff?
Absolutely. Too much going on. It is an insane time right now, without question. But we are having, there's so many good things happening, and then obviously some tough challenges and tough conversations that we're having. But so it's a little bit of bitter and sweet at the same time.
Hey, we talked to Senate Majority Leader Mike Shirky yesterday. I know he was going to be talking with many of the superintendents in the area yesterday. I'm not sure if you were on that call, but do you know anything about that?
I do. I've talked to Senator Shirky a couple days in a row now. You got to go back a little ways. If you go back to when this whole thing started and the governor, closed schools and shut us down, they basically said, keep paying folks and we'll keep paying you. And, well, now the money's not there to pay us because, of course, we're largely funded, or the school aid fund is largely funded through sales tax. And we're all sitting at home instead of out shopping and eating at restaurants. So the hard part for there is we recognize that there's a shortfall in the budget. We acted on good faith and kept everybody employed. We kept all of our paras and TAs and bus drivers and security guards and, everybody. Mm-hmm. We didn't lay off anybody. And, and now, quite frankly, I think, Senator Majority Leader Shirky certainly recognizes the fact it would be very disingenuous to implement a cut for our current year. And they were talking a big number, $1 billion in the current year, which would have hit about $625 plus or minus. That'd have been a $5 million cut, maybe a little bit more than that for JPS in our current year. Now that's not quite what we were planning for. So Senator Shirky is working on accessing some federal money associated with the CARES Act, and so JPS and the soups from around the county are being supported. We recognize that the money's not in the sales tax revenue. It's not coming in right now, but we also recognize that we kept on a lot of expenses, tens of millions of dollars worth of expenses that we could have eliminated earlier if we'd have been allowed to. And of course, that's not what we wanted to do. We would prefer to keep everybody engaged, and we love teaching kids. I mean, this is what we get up in the morning for. So we were happy to do our job and do our part. And I think that's the challenge today.
And I don't know if we have a real good handle on the sales tax comeback. How, we know it's going to be slow, but how slow?
Well, I don't have that answer for you. What they did was they projected a $1.2 billion, I believe, shortfall in the school aid budget for next year. Keep in mind that the school aid budget gets their money about 65 cents of every dollar for sales tax goes into school aid. And so when you look at a $1.2 billion shortfall in school aid, that's probably a $2 billion shortfall in the state revenue, overall. And so, we are expecting cuts for next year. JPS has been planning to make some reductions. We don't anticipate that we're going to come out of this unscathed. I don't think we're unrealistic in that expectation. But it's, like I said, it's one thing to plan for next year when I've got some time to kind of prepare. But this isn't where we wanted to be. Hit me up in February, pre-COVID, and we're adding to the fund balance. We're growing programs. I'm bringing everybody forward. We're having a blast. We're adding students. JPS is really moving right along, and I want to continue that momentum. I think JPS still has a great opportunity to provide services to our community and provide for our students a very rich educational experience. And so we're looking at how we can do that moving into next year.
But probably not a lot of areas that you can cut without pain, Jeff?
No, every area is going to be painful. I took the board a slate of cuts on May 11th at our May board meeting. I recognize that we are going to have to reduce our budget somewhere between $500 per pupil and $750 per pupil is my my working budget right now. And if you kind of, again, do the math on that, that's somewhere between $5 and $6 million. And in a business that is largely people, I mean, about 85% of our expenses can be attributed to personnel in one form or fashion. And so you can't cut $5-6 million without taking a look at personnel. And it is going to hurt because we've got great people. And like I said, you know, a minute ago, you know, back in February, I'm looking at bringing everybody forward. We're on the rise. We got good things happening. We're adding to the fund balance. We're growing programming. And so we were really, really on a roll, and I want to continue that role. It's just, you know, we're going to have to meet some new challenges and jump through some new hurdles this time.
So what does September look like to you?
Well, you know, I see that the governor's got a return to learn commission out there, and I know that for me, I've had lots of conversations with Senator Shirky. I had a conversation with Representative Alexander. I've reached out to the governor's office because we don't know a lot of things that are coming, and the sooner we know, the better that we can pinpoint where our resources need to go. So I'll give you a simple example. I could spend, if I bought a dollar mask, am I going to make kids wear masks to school? We'll use something simple like that. If I buy a dollar mask times 5,000 kids times 200 days, I just spend $1 million on masks that I don't have and that I didn't have last year. And so, you know, we really have to take a look at where we're spending that money. Are we coming back full time? I don't know, because I don't know what count looks like. You know, we're funded based on pupils who show up. And so will parents feel comfortable or safe sending their kids to school? And what happens if they don't? Because that could drastically impact our budget as well. We want to be very careful about what that looks like and how we go about, you know, in recruiting and really taking a look at marketing the programs that JPS has to offer. You know, but are we going to be off until Christmas? And nobody out there wants to hear me say that. And I think that's part of the reason you've got a commission out there, is because no one wants to say, hey, we're not ready to return. But what happens? And I ask everybody out there the same question. What happens if Jackson High had a case of COVID, a teacher came down or a student came down with a case of COVID in September? Am I closing the building for 3 weeks? Am I closing the building for a month? Will I get kids back? All of those are pieces we don't really know. And if it happened at the wrong time, if it happened during count window, when a large portion of our budget is settled, you know, how does that even work? So there's an equation that's got so many variables in it right now that we are trying to lock down, that it's hard for me to tell you. We're coming back. Yeah. We're not coming back. We are looking at some blended options. Should we be spending money and time and energy training our teachers to be more prepared to do online? You know, you and I have talked, Greg, had I known this was coming in September, I'd have prepared differently. Well, I'm preparing differently because I have to be ready for the possibility that this could be something we have to deal with in August and September. And so for JPS, you know, we intend to teach the curriculum. We're not going to come in here and just do, you know, a continuity of learning plan that we put together in 2 weeks. We're going to legitimately, you know, come back and teach, you know, third grade and fourth grade and fifth grade and, you know, high school chemistry. You know, we're going to be teaching the curriculum. And so in order to do that, we need to spend some money on professional development aimed at teaching online. How do we instruct online if that's the case? What does that blended classroom or that hybrid classroom look like? Will we be allowed to bring back half the students on any given day and then cyber the other half? Again, nobody really wants to talk about that, but our classes, you know, which can hold 28 to 30 kids, you know, if we're social distancing, you know, we could hold 15 kids, you know, maybe 14, and try to truly social distance those classrooms. And so, you know, we can manage some of the things about how do you go up and down the hallways, how do you manage lunch, are you eating in the classrooms. We can manage, you know, some of those pieces, but we're trying to, you know, get those best practices put in place. And JPS is actually right now planning and hoping that we can run summer band and summer school. We're trying to get a 3-week summer school run up in July. and then maybe another summer program so that we can take a look at maybe an athletic program, something that will allow us to take our concept and put it into action so we can learn from our summer school experience how we need to manage that for bringing everybody back. So how do we manage kids going in and out of the bathroom, or how do we manage, you know, kids riding the bus and things like that?
It would seem in that budget scenario, Jeff, that the extracurriculars and the athletics would probably take a beating.
You know, I think that every department, there won't be the budget that I'm preparing, and that the slate of cuts I took to the board is going to impact every department. I don't have any false confidence about that. You can't cut, 10% of a program or 10% of our budget and not anticipate that it's going to, you know, that we're going to be able to deliver exactly the same thing as we delivered last year. So I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. We're still waiting on some guidance from the MHSAA, and of course they're watching professional leagues and college leagues around the country try to figure out the same question about how do you do athletics in the fall. But some of those things are also what gets kids up in the morning. That's part of that social experience. It's
right.
You know, it's one thing to get all of your curriculum online, and what that takes out of the equation is the impact of relationships with staff and with each other. I mean, kids come to school for their friends. They come to school to be in the play or to be on the basketball team or the football team. You know, they come to school for that social experience every bit as much as they come to school for an education. And sometimes you might argue that they're there for that more than they're there for Algebra 2, But the reality is that that's an important part of the learning and growing experience that we all need in order to be ready to step out into the world beyond the classroom. I mean, how many years have we been talking about, you know, we're really teaching kids how to move from the classroom into a career? And that instruction, that's the soft skills that our kids get when they work with us. And so we're very interested. We're desperate to get them back in school. We want everybody to be safe, and we're looking for how to kind of answer some of those riddles that are out there for what next fall looks like. But we're preparing, and we will be prepared kind of moving forward. And again, I'm super supportive and appreciative of Senator Shirky's outreach to us, because he is extending the olive branch. He recognizes that they asked us to keep working and keep teaching and keep paying folks, and so, you know, they have a promise that they need to uphold as well.
Boy, it's gonna take some adroit dancing to put this all together, isn't it?
It's going to be a lot of things that are going to happen in a very, very short period of time, without question. You know, we like to think that we're very flexible. I've got an amazing team around me that are doing some great things, and I love what our staff is doing. I mean, mm-hmm. Again, if you get out and you look at our social media pages or go to our school pages, it is popping. The number of people who are sharing our videos of our kids learning and our teachers teaching and the number of activities that they're doing, it's really hopping right now. And we're looking at how do we wind up the school year too. I mean, some of this is, you know, some of those end of the year rituals when we talk about graduation or commencement, but we also talk about, you know, fifth graders moving on to middle school, or we talk about kindergarten and, you know, roundup, or we talk about some of those other things that we still have to do within the business of the business that are essential to our operation. And how do we help those kids transition from eighth grade to ninth grade? How do we give them that experience? And so we're working on some of that, those pieces as well. And it's, you know what, there's so many great things happening. It's hard to focus just on the budget and go, this is, you know, the rain is pouring outside. And JPS has been really good. We've added to the fund balance each of the last 2 years, and I've been telling the board, look, if worse comes to worse, we're going to be spending some of that fund balance dollars down because it's raining outside. But it's hard to focus on that because there are so many positives going around. We have 5,000 kids that are counting on us, and JPS is, you know, we're thrilled to deliver. We love what we do, and I've got great teachers. I've got great parapros. I've got great bus drivers. I've got great folks working in food services we've talked about. You know, these are people who genuinely make a difference every day in the lives of people of Jackson.
And they help you through this this really rough time the past couple months?
Without a doubt. They have done some tremendous heavy lifting. And you talk about, you know, some tap dancing or making quick decisions or making things happen quickly. And, you know, I would tell you that we opened up school on April 14th. And, you know, here we are, you know, a little more than a month later. And the quality of the work that they're doing doesn't look like it did on day one, because these guys have gotten better. They've gone out and really taken it seriously and said, watch what I can do. And I love that. All right, there shows you how passionate these guys are about their craft and about working with kids. The number of care phone calls or wellness checks that have gone out to go, what's going on? How can we help you? You know, I'm in a district with 5,000 kids. I think we are averaging in the 90s, 90% or better in just about every classroom as far as participation right now. Think about that for a second. In an online world where people are, where it's easy to sit home and forget that today is Wednesday and is today Wednesday? to forget that today is Wednesday and go every day is Saturday. And we've got 90% of our kids checking in or better every week. I mean, that right there will blow you away right off the top. They want to be in school. Our kids, I think our kids miss us. And I know, like I said, a dozen times, we miss them.
Well, don't envy your position, Jeff. You're going to have some, like you said, challenges that come up in a hurry.
Yeah. I've been doing this a long time. I was here. I wasn't in Jackson. I was a superintendent at Vesterburg back in 2010, you know, when they cut $480 per pupil that year. And, you know, again, really hard, lean times. And you ask how quickly the sales tax will come back. I will tell you that when they cut that money out of the school aid budget back then, it took about 5 years to see that money kind of return to that level. Mm-hmm. And so if you were to see $1,000 or $500 ahead, you could see another 5 to potentially 10 years before that money actually returns to current level. And just based on what I've lived through in my career.
Scary. Hey, Jeff, appreciate the info, and we'll, of course, stay in touch.
Thank you very much. Again, you know, if I give my public service announcement, folks, I've said this before, how we manage our opening as a state, how we go out and interact with folks when we're out at the stores and when Jackson does reopen, that's going to play a direct impact, a direct role in how our schools are able to reopen in the fall. And so you heard me speak. I want to get our kids back in school. We can't do that if we don't get our rates under control, and Jackson is making good decisions, and we've seen our rates on the rise, you know, decline. And so I'd again encourage folks to please be safe, use social distancing, wear masks, do what they got to do, because we're desperate to get everybody back in school. We recognize what that means to reopening our city and our economy.
Jackson Public Schools Superintendent Jeff Beal.